That's the crux of what I want to say about this, is that you were designed as a woman to uniquely bless the body of Christ in a way which they will encounter God through you. And if you sit in your gifting in laziness or doubt or fear or frustration or whatever it is that's stopping you from walking in that calling, that weight of undispersed honey and undispersed milk is going to drown you. Hello, friend, and welcome to the Dig Your Well podcast. I'm Jane Johnson, author, speaker, scripture digger, and most importantly, a woman who is currently caught in a passionate love affair with the Word of God. I love to study it, I love to teach it, and most of all, I love to teach women like you how to study it. If you're ready to take your understanding of the Bible to the next level and learn a system of scripture study that will forever change your mornings with Jesus, then I highly recommend you check out my course, The School of Scripture, at digmywell.com/SOS. Throughout these episodes, you will be educated not just on the nuances of what's happening inside the context of a particular Bible passage, but also how to find those same nuggets in scripture between episodes on your own. My hope and my prayer is that you leave here having fallen more deeply in love with God's Word than you were when you came, and that you are empowered to discover similar lightbulb moments on your own in your morning digging every single day. But for now, it's time to dig your well, for you and for the generations who follow along after you. So, friend, let's dig in. Hi guys, welcome back to the Dig Your Well podcast. I'm Jane Johnson, and I just want to say thank you so much for being here with me. My prayer for you from this episode is that you will say yes to God and step bravely into the unknown of what God has for you. Side note, we had a friend back when we lived on Maui who could not stand it when people would say, God showed up. And once I heard that, I have never been able to unhear it again, because it insinuates the fact that God wasn't there to begin with. And then all of a sudden he showed up on the scene and all of a sudden he was there. So that's not something that you're going to hear me say, that God showed up, but I do pray that you can step into the unknown of what God has shown you today. I pray that he would show himself to you today. So this entire series is based off of a message that I taught at a women's conference in Alabama back in 2021, and I did not expect the Holy Spirit outpouring that came out of it. We're going to talk a lot today about your physical gifts, and in order to understand them, we're also going to discuss the difference between your physical gifts and also your spiritual gifts. Now, the first time that I taught this, I had been praying leading up to this conference that the Spirit of God would shake the room. I wanted to tangibly feel his presence vibrating the building. And I was asking God very specifically that he would vibrate the building with his presence and with his spirit. Now, as I was teaching this message, I shared that specific prayer that I had been praying. What I didn't know was that at the same exact time that I was talking about this, there was a car accident that had happened outside of the church in which we were talking, where the conference was being held, and they had to have a life flight helicopter come and life flight somebody from this car accident to a hospital. And the second that I said that I wanted him to vibrate the building, the helicopter for the life flight took off in the parking lot of the building in which I was preaching. So the helicopter rising up and taking off was vibrating the walls of the building as I was saying that I wanted the Spirit of God to vibrate in that place. So that's what happened the first time I preached this message. Now, in my last episode, I told you the story behind Dig Your Well, but I didn't share with you about my previous life as a creative entrepreneur in my waiting years for a family. As a creative entrepreneur, I have a handful of giftings. And I say that matter-of-factly, not in a glory-seeking, bragging kind of way. And I think it's really important to realize the difference between glory-seeking and bragging and just straight up acknowledging your giftings. There's a wild difference between the two. It's okay to say that you are gifted at something, that you are really good at doing something, that God created you to do this one specific thing for this one specific purpose, and he's made you really good at it. There's a tendency among Christian women today to downplay our giftings, to downplay ourselves, and just to say, oh, you know what? I mean, yeah, I did that thing and it was really special, but it really wasn't that big of a deal. We downplay ourselves. And I think that there's a way to say, Yeah, I did do that. Isn't that so wild? I can't believe God gave me that vision. There's a difference between saying that and saying, yeah, I did that. Mm-hmm. I came up with that all on my own. Mm-hmm. Of course I did it. Isn't it cool? Don't you wish you could do it too? There's a big difference between the two of those. And I kind of say that to tell you that it's okay to say that you are good at something or God has gifted you at something because it empowers other women to do the same, to look for the areas that they're gifted in, to lean into those and to celebrate them. A couple years ago, I was out on my patio with a girlfriend who was up for Oregon's Teacher of the Year that year. And she came over so that I could take a headshot of her and she could submit it. And she was just talking about how God was using her in her career. She was a biology teacher, and before that, she was kind of in administration, and she was bouncing around between administrative roles and teaching roles. And she was talking about the favor that God had on her in her career. And she was talking about the amazing things that God was doing through her teaching and the relationships that she was building with her students and the way that she was connecting in ways that not many other teachers were able to do in a particular environment of children that was especially difficult to reach. And as she was doing that, it gave me permission to then tell her what I was doing in my career and what God was doing through my business and how he was glorifying himself through it all. So there's a big difference between saying something out of boasting and trying to make people feel inferior or jealous, or saying things out of genuine love for what God is doing that gets people excited about doing the same. So back to why I was taking her headshot, it goes back to my creative giftings. I was a family portrait photographer for 13 years. So I started my business back in 2007. And then in 2010, I designed and launched my own website, which quickly turned into a graphic design side hustle for designing for other photographers. And what happened was I didn't like any of the websites that were available to me at the time. So I designed one myself in Photoshop, and I did a trade with a coder who parsed it out and built my site, and I did his family portraits for him as a thank you. Once I posted my website online, other photographers saw it that I was friends with and networked with on social media and said, hey, can you do the same thing for me? So my photography business morphed into part photography, part graphic design. So those are my creative giftings: photography, graphic design, making things beautiful and aesthetic and gorgeous on paper. Those are called natural giftings. Natural giftings are divine, God-given abilities or talents that benefit everyone around you. They differ from spiritual gifts because spiritual gifts are for the edification of the church. Natural giftings are the things that you are innately good at, the things that come naturally to you, the things that your brain does all on its own, completely by itself. So you might as well go out and do it, or you won't be able to stop thinking about it. That's how I started my graphic design business. I actually failed out of the graphic design program in college, and I kept designing because my brain kept designing itself. The design gears did not stop turning. So I finally just embraced it and went after it. So that was my natural gifting because my brain was naturally inclined to work that way. My favorite example of this is found in Exodus 31. When God pulls together all of the artisans, the metal workers and jewelry makers and craftsmen and both wood and weaving to create the tabernacle. Now, this is a huge tempting tangent for me that I do not have time to go down in this episode. But if you want to dig more into this, you definitely want to check out my 3-week in-depth Bible study called Be Thou My Vision. That's entirely dedicated to pressing into God and the calling he has placed on your life. And it's all rooted in Exodus 31. Okay. So you can see the example of people walking out their natural giftings to be used by God for the tabernacle in Exodus 31. Okay, those are natural giftings. Now I want to talk about spiritual giftings, which are divine gifts of ability that are powered by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the edification of and ministry to the church. These are the things that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12 and also in Ephesians 4. They're gifts like words of wisdom, words of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of teaching, hospitality, evangelism, prophecy, all of the things. You're probably familiar with them. You get the idea. The very first time that I experienced a spiritual gift in action was back in my early 20s when I was at a retreat and a friend of mine was newly pregnant. And so she was not able to attend the retreat because she had two other young children at home and was newly pregnant with number three. So while I was at the retreat, the theme was about the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. So that was my first experience with the Holy Spirit and hearing about spiritual gifts. And then I had a dream that my friend had miscarried her baby. And when I woke up, I was praying for her in the context that she had a miscarriage. So when we went home from the retreat and I called her and connected with her, she told me that she had lost the baby that weekend. And I told her that I had prayed her through that before I had even known about it. So that's an example of words of knowledge in action. Knowing something that you couldn't, shouldn't, otherwise possibly know, that is divinely told to you by the Spirit of God for the edification of, encouragement of, help of believers and the people around you. So I'm breaking these things down because you need to know both your spiritual and natural gifts in order to understand your calling. If you're not sure what your spiritual gifts are, I've linked a few good spiritual gifts tests on my website at janejohnson.com/podcast. Go there. You'll find the links to this episode and the links to a spiritual gifts test in there. So that's a really good place to start. Okay. So you have the spiritual gifts. You have your natural gifts. And then you have a calling. A lot of times, I think that as Christians, we tend to use the words gifting and calling interchangeably, but they are two completely separate things. But in order to know one, you have to know the other one. So let's break down a calling, which is the administration of your God-given gifts, talents, and abilities in the manner in which God has purposed for them to be used. Now, almost everywhere in the New Testament, the word calling is in the context of an invitation to embrace salvation. But in Ephesians 4:1, it's translated as vocation. And I love this because more than ever today, a ministry isn't limited to the confines of a church. So many of us are using our businesses, careers, and even hobbies to minister to the people around us. So that's a calling. And there are three things that I know to be true about callings. Number one, just because God calls you to something doesn't mean that it's for today. Doesn't mean you need to leap out and go do it right away and make it happen, okay? He could be telling you something that he's calling you to that's not going to happen for years down the road, okay? That's number one. The second thing I've learned by experience about callings is that they are most often spoken out loud. From Adam in the book of Genesis all the way to John in the book of Revelation, God audibly speaks the callings that are placed on the lives of his people in the Bible, whether it's from his own mouth, through the mouth of an angel, or through another believer, God speaks when he calls. And then the third thing that I know to be true about callings is that the confirmation of it will often only be seen in the fulfillment of it. And that makes it a little bit more tricky because it takes a certain amount of faith to walk in the weight of it. To help illustrate this, I've had three callings on my life so far up to this point. And I'm a firm believer that you don't just have one calling on your life. I believe that God calls you to a series of smaller callings that all lead up to your big life calling. So for my callings, the first one happened when I was 21. Like I mentioned earlier, I had just failed the graphic design program at Oregon State University. Yeah, failed. So embarrassing. The team of professors at the college had gotten together to judge all of the work of the undergrad students as part of their application process to enroll in the upper level courses. So what you do is you take all of your best work from all the classes you've taken so far in your undergrad career and you paste them up tape, well, this was in the early 2000s. They probably do it digitally now, but you taped it up on your specified 2 foot by 2 foot space on the wall in this art gallery. So your work is side by side everybody else's work in your whole entire class. You're all fighting for a limited number of spots. And I did not make the cut. Not just once. I went through this process twice. I failed the program twice. Now, I'm the girl who always had a camera in her back pocket. My parents bought me a film SLR camera for my high school graduation. Again, this is the late 1990s. And my first class that I signed up for in college had my feet firmly planted in the dark room at 2 o'clock in the morning. But photography always felt like something that I loved to do, and I never dreamed it could be a career until the summer of 2001. On a mission trip to Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, when I stood on the street corner waiting for a bus and talking to a friend about what the heck I was going to do with my life, because I was in between majors, suddenly in a lurch, and I did not know what to do next. I had no idea. I had my camera bag slung over my shoulder. I had about 10 rolls of film inside of it. And on this trip, I had unofficially become the documentarian of it because I was taking so many pictures. My friend glanced down at my bag, looked up at me, and said simply, "You know, there's a verse in Matthew that says the lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light." He paused for a minute, and then he said, "Maybe you should do photography." And that was it. The light bulb went off. I went home, I changed my major, and the rest is history. So that's my first calling. My second calling happened a little bit more subtly because going into it, had I known then what I know now, I would have never accepted it. And that was to wait for our family through a 10-year-long journey of what I like to call delayed fertility. And I say I would have never accepted it. I probably would have, because God was so clear in what we were supposed to do when it came to our wait for our family. I would have had to accept it. But all that to say, if he had told me at the time that he was calling me to wait for our family that that would have been a 10-year wait, I don't know that that would have been a easy pill for me to swallow right there in the very beginning. So that's my second calling, was waiting. And the third calling came out of the obedience of stepping into those first two callings. How these things combined was words started forming through the digging and the waiting. And I understand information by making it pretty. So God has now called me to not only study God's word and to write about his word and to teach about his word. He's calling me to do it in a way that makes it beautiful and understandable and simple and glorious. Now, listen, we're going to talk about Deborah next week. And we're going to talk about the moment when your gifting and your calling collide and the incredible power of the Holy Spirit that happens as a result of that. But before we get there, I want to wrap up this episode with that whole idea of natural giftings and doing what comes naturally to you. Because when we talk about spiritual gifts and natural gifts, I also understand that there's a whole lot of talk in the church about what women can and cannot do. Roles in the church that they should and should not fill. I'm not going to touch the controversial aspects of that here. I'm not going to give my take on what the verses mean that are often thrown around in these discussions. But what I do want to talk about is walking in your natural gifts mingled with your spiritual gifts. For me, one of my spiritual gifts is teaching. If I were consumed with the audience that I could or could not speak to or teach to or preach to, then I'm getting distracted. Remember when I talked about what the word trial means and how Satan is going to use any tactic he can to distract you from the calling that God has placed upon your life. If you are a Bible teacher and you're caught up in who you can and cannot teach, you're being distracted. And I want you to think about the promised land in the Old Testament, the land that's flowing with milk and honey. Listen, I am not a feminist by any means, but there is one indisputable fact about the promised land that no man can argue with. The insect that produces the honey and the animal that produces the milk, the only two that can produce those things are the females. Female cows produce the milk. Female bees produce the honey. They are doing what they were created to do. They are just buzzing around making the honey, walking around producing their milk, and the rest of the world is benefiting from it. They're not worrying about who's getting to drink the milk, who's getting to eat the honey. They're just producing it. And whoever hears it, takes advantage of it, is blessed by it, and receives it is up to what God wants to do with it. That's the crux of what I want to say about this, is that you were designed as a woman to uniquely bless the body of Christ in a way which they will encounter God through you. And if you sit in your gifting in laziness or doubt or fear or frustration or whatever it is that's stopping you from walking in that calling, that weight of undispersed honey and undispersed milk is going to drown you, because you were created to release these things. Your gifting is the way in which God releases it into the world. And if you do not embrace that, it will drown you. So can we please stop getting worked up about what we can or cannot do? Those are not hills to die on. You just keep walking in your gifts and let God bring the audience as he wills. And if there is none, he's just hedged you in. It's not your time yet. You're hidden. You're anonymous. That doesn't mean that you can't keep writing and creating and working and teaching and recording and doing all these things in anticipation of the audience to come. Too many women are too concerned about church positioning. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter, because the promised land flowed with milk and honey anyways, produced by females doing what they were created naturally to do. They don't overthink it. They don't plan for it. They don't strategize for it. They simply do the thing that they were created to do and the environment in which they were placed, because they can't stop doing it. So, sister, lean into your natural giftings, figure out your spiritual giftings, and see what God is going to do when he weaves those together, because I promise you, some magical honey milk is going to come out of it. Okay, friends, that's it for me. I will see you next week for episode 3 of the Dig Your Well podcast. Congratulations, friend. You just finished another episode of the Dig Your Well podcast. If you want more, I have a digging deeper guide waiting for you at janejohnson.com/podcast. In it, you will look up biblical definitions of words in this episode. You'll pair Bible passages together related to today's topic, and you're going to make it all personal to you by turning it into one big faith-filled prayer. So go to janejohnson.com/podcast, find today's episode, and download your guide. And if you're looking for a private space to gather with other scripture diggers like you and me to be encouraged, challenged, and fall deeper in love with God's word that we are already all absolutely enamored with, the link's waiting for you, along with a free 14-day trial at janejohnson.com/podcast.